Hello, and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peek. And how's everybody doing? Everybody doing great? I've had an interesting week. I know I say that all the time, but things come up all the time where there's attention drawn to what you're doing. Not to make matters worse, but So last weekend, I didn't talk about this with my wife, but I did happen to bring home a couple of Jeeps out doing test drives, and kind of made her blood pressure go up a little bit. And she was a good sport about it. She was like, listen, you know, I get it. You want a Jeep, blah, blah, blah. But I was looking to see what my truck was worth, to see what I could possibly trade or get or whatever. And so it was kind of fun to just see what's out there and have a moment where I could check some other things out. And try it on. I had never taken a Jeep for a test drive before, and there's a big question mark of, you know, would I actually enjoy it? I seem to really enjoy looking at them and perusing them on the internet to see what's for sale. And I've been following along a few guys on the internet to try to find out the best time to buy, and a lot of them are talking about the market. There's this guy, I don't exactly remember the name of the channel on YouTube. I think it's called Car Gurus, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see if I can look it up real quick, because I've watched these guys' videos a good bit. It's a father and son. The father was actually a car manager, used car salesman manager for like 47 years. How do you spell guru? Car guru? Is that them? That's not them. What's these guys' names? It's two guys. Hang on. I know how to find it. How to find good deal on used. They're going to come up this way. I'll watch it. Yep. How about that? It's a good way to find it. The first thing that comes up is their videos. And their channel is called, let me zoom it in, Car Edge. C-A-R. Car Edge. C-A-R-E-D-G-E. Great channel. I've been watching a lot of their videos. Basically, the father and son go back and forth discussing about what the market's doing, what's happening with new vehicles, what's happening with used vehicles, when's the best time to buy, how to get the most out of your vehicle, how to negotiate a good price, all this sort of things. Like I said, the dad owned a dealership for 47 years or managed a dealership for 47 years. And so him and his son are talking about basically how you, the buyer, can get the most for your money. And they're talking about how right now there's such an influx of cars for sale and that nothing is selling. So there's a lot of car lots, especially in your big metropolitan areas, where they're discounting the prices below sticker value because they are stuck with this product that nobody's buying. And it's always amazing to me to see how the market of things go. We always talk about how, you know, the price of gas fluctuates, or the price of mayonnaise, or the things that you buy every day, you know, bread, milk, that sort of thing. And we're amazed when certain things go up, but others don't. He brings up a good point in this, the father does, saying that through the last 3 years, just as an example, Hyundai has gone up on their prices 47%, and it did not slow down their purchasings. Purchases still went through the roof for 3 years straight. This year, however, they have taken a huge plummet, and that is true with a lot of car places. They were on a Chevrolet lot where they were showing that the cost of ownership of a new pickup truck has gone up like 55% over the past 3 years, and sales were strong until this year. This year, they've basically plummeted to the point that now dealerships are trying to sell it for under MSRP, which could be less than the dealer actually paid for the vehicle, which is kind of a concern for those dealerships. And it makes me wonder a couple of things. It makes me wonder if car dealerships are going to get away from having dealerships, possibly. I mean, we've sort of seen a version of this with places like Circuit City and Radio Shack and, you know, kind of tentatively with Best Buy. I mean, Best Buy is sort of going through this thing of struggling to stay relevant when you can buy almost everything on the internet. And there are people who still like to go see what they're going to buy before they buy it. And listen, there's nothing wrong with it. I like to be able to go in and touch the thing I'm going to buy sometimes. sometimes it's better just to buy the thing and have it show up and see if you like it or not. I mean, with return policies the way they are, if you don't like it, you just return it. I mean, it kind of makes me wonder if cars are going to get that way. I mean, we've had companies come up like Carvana and, you know, cars.com and that sort of thing, and Car Trader, all these ones that are like advertising that they will come and pick up your used car, give you a check, or basically swap you out a car, this car for that car. And it makes me wonder if we're moving more towards that type of mentality. I know that Tesla has kind of made a headway within their own company of just making a really good product that people are excited about and hasn't done the first commercial yet. They have no commercials, and yet they're outselling a lot of the most popular cars that are out there, basically just by making a good product. But also, because of that, it's not like you can go on to the car lot and negotiate a price and be like, I don't know, I think I'll give you this for it. The price is what it is, okay? They're just advertising the price, and you pay the price. Now, what that tells other car manufacturers is, oh, we're kind of foolish for playing this game of like offering up a price, and then we haggle with somebody, and we're paying everybody these exorbitant prices for working in these factories, and then, I mean, not factories, in these showrooms, and we're paying for these box places where people are standing around and taking up space and taking their families on vacation. And listen, that's all good for the economy and all that, but is it good for the car maker? Is it good for the individual owning the car? It only benefits to me, the society as a whole, because then they have jobs, right? You got people moving cars, you got people shuffling cars, you got people cleaning cars, maintaining cars, washing cars, going out and trying to sell the cars, wheeling and dealing on the finance end of the cars. And it's a lot of jobs involved. But is it a paradigm that may go away? I mean, there is the potential that just like Amazon does now, where you go on and you look at your thing and you've got video. And listen, autotrader.com to me does the best job of utilizing the internet with dealers to kind of show you the ins and outs of a car, and you can schedule a test drive, and you can negotiate online with somebody. You can give an offer. You can go back and forth. There's all kinds of things you can do online. And yes, it's easier to walk away when you're online. And you would think that they would know that and also negotiate the same way. I'm not exactly sure how it works. I haven't done it yet. But what if you did all that and did not have to pay a large staff? I mean, it's kind of bad for the economy because you're doing away with jobs. But maybe it's better for consumers and manufacturers because you're getting the product for less exorbitant cost involved. And therefore, as a consumer, I get a cheaper price, possibly. I mean, at the end of the day, the choices that we make with our economy affect everything, including our gas mileage, including the habits that we have, whether it is smoking or drinking or coffee or fast food or whatever it is that we spend money on a daily basis. It could be something simple as I like to buy a candy bar from this store once a week. Okay, well, over time, that adds up to money, right? Everything that you spend out of your pocket ends up costing money. I like watching things on TV, so I got to pay for something to watch on TV. And so that's going to cost me per month. If I want to watch the hit show on this source or that source, the a la carte system that's out there now has you paying quite a bit of money if you're not careful. You can pick and choose to maybe have this service this month and another service another month and kind of binge watch them as you go, which may be the smarter way to do it in the future. I'm not exactly sure, but all of those choices add up to your bottom dollar at the end of the day. And these guys at this YouTube channel, Car Edge, just kind of blur it together as one word, C-A-R-E-D-G-E. They have a website, caredge.com. They're super helpful. They've got a lot of negotiating skills given to you on a regular basis in question and answer form, not only from people, but from each other. They quiz each other on ways that you can do things and ways you can figure it out. And if you're not watching them already, I highly recommend checking them out. They've got right now 1.2 thousand videos. They got 470,000 subscribers. It's not by accident. Their video production quality is really good, especially the newer videos. They've upgraded all of their equipment. And it's fantastic. So check them out. I highly recommend checking them out. They're doing a great job, and I, for one, appreciate it as a consumer, as a potential buyer. So just throwing that out there. Let's talk about a few things that I've watched on TV. Okay, this is stuff I heard. So I'd like to tell you about some stuff I heard because maybe it'll interest you. I'm a big fan of comedy. You guys know that. I talk about comedians all the time, talk about watching comedy specials, going to comedy shows. I felt guilty at a certain point in my life because I was listening to comedy on podcasts so much. And I was like, I'm not giving them anything in return. I'm like, I'm taking in all of this stuff and it's so much fun. It's so great for me because I remember being a kid and you'd have to stay up late to watch, you know, the Comedy Central thing or the late night HBO thing that your parents weren't supposed to let you watch because they had cursing after 10 o'clock. That was a thing back in the day. They couldn't curse on TV past 10 o'clock and unless it turned 10 p.m. And all of a sudden it's like, now we can say the F word. But I mean, thankfully I had access to that as a kid through my parents, you know, just understanding that, hey, this is life and you got to understand that words don't hurt. And here's this comedian, you know, George Carlin and Robin Williams and Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy. And they were hilarious, not because they cursed, but because they were allowed to say whatever, just because it all was just so silly that we were so caught up in words. And they could twist words and make words funny and make you think in ways that you hadn't thought before. And for me as a kid, I really, really enjoyed it. Now, as an adult, we have a lot more access to it now, thankfully, to podcasts and to online ability to stream things from everywhere, from every possible scenario you could think of. And so Whitney Cummings this past week came out with her sixth special, not this week, but I watched it this week, came out with her sixth special. And I've seen several of them on Netflix. They're all super great. I really liked the one where she had the robot. I thought that was awesome. But this one was on OnlyFans. And she had made a comment that she was looking for avenues of streaming that would be outside of the norm where she would have more control of what she could say and talk about. Because she felt like she was still restricted by talking about anything on certain platforms, including Netflix. So she had done a few of these things through her production company on OnlyFans, like the Bert Kreischer roast. She did a roast of herself. There's been several things that she's done supporting other comedians. But this is the first time she put her special on OnlyFans. And it's free. It doesn't, when you type it in, it doesn't take you to somebody's butthole, like she says. There's no nudity. But you just type in of.tv and then / Whitney Cummings. And it comes up. Her comedy special is called Mouthy. She is 7 months pregnant when she shoots this. And since then, she's had her baby. But yeah, it's hilarious. I loved it. I thought it was great. She kind of is off on tangents. She's got the pregnant mom brain. So she's sort of talking to a smaller crowd, but at the same time, just having fun with everybody and talking about the way things are looking to her from her point of view, which is what we're all doing, right? We don't say it, but that's what we're all doing. We can't do it per se at our workplace because sometimes HR is involved because we say something that's inappropriate. Well, if you're a stand-up comedian, the only thing you have to worry about is people pulling your content because they say that you can't say that. Well, yes, okay, unless it's funny, okay? The thing to me that's funny is how we realize that some of the things we say and think are absurd because they are. And she doesn't miss on this. I thought it was a home run. I watched it on my phone, weirdly enough. I haven't figured out how to watch it on my TV, but yeah, I watched it on my phone because I figured, hey, let's just see if this works. I have no idea if it'll even work. If it's going to ask me for some kind of password, I don't have an OnlyFans channel or subscription or any of that crap. I was just like, well, I like comedy. I like Whitney. Let's see if this works. And it worked. And it was hilarious. So thank you, Whitney. Love the special. If you want to check it out, all you got to do, like I said, is type in http://of.tv/Whitney Cummings. And there you go. So enjoy. I watched a cute little cartoon, and I know you guys are like, yeah, but you're like a 50-year-old man. Why are you watching cartoons? I don't know. because I like it, because it was cute, because the little thing says, you might like this, and I'm a sucker for you might like this, because they're right a lot of times. That's the way algorithms work. So anyway, this cartoon movie, I guess, came out last year at the movie theater, Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. Now, just the verbiage of that alone, I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch it. Because I watched Luca with my grandson, and it was adorable, and that was about, you know, little mermaid people that come up on land and lived in some place in Italy or Greece or whatever. And it was adorable. I liked it. He and I watched it many times. So Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken looked adorable again. And I was like, okay, let's watch it. And I loved it. I thought it was great. Weirdly enough, one of the voices I recognized right away was Jane Fonda. Was not expecting to hear Jane Fonda come through my speakers, but there she was, Jane Fonda. I liked it. I thought it was a cute movie. I thought it was great. It's not exactly Orion versus the Dark. I mean, it doesn't address something where people have a fear and then they overcome their fear, but it does sort of, because it's a teenage girl. And what are teenage girls afraid of? Everything. Like they should. I mean, the world's a big scary place, right? And your body's going through changes and it's all terrifying. Well, what if you also found out that you weren't just turning into an adult, you were turning into a Kraken? That's a whole nother thing. So yeah. It was adorable. I liked it. Will Forte does one of the voices as well. If you'd have told me Will Forte was in this, I would have listened and not heard him the entire time, because he does such a great cartoon character voice that I didn't even know that was him. It's great. Loved it. Awesome. Thumbs up. Big thumbs up. Teenage Kraken. Okay. So then I'm looking at what else might you like? Because this is stuff I heard, and I'm always looking for things to tell you guys about stuff I heard. Nickelodeon years ago came out with this show called The Avatar, The Last Airbender. And I had young children that we watched it together. And it was about a little boy named Aang. And Aang had powers. Let's just say powers. He had the power of wind. Okay. The four elements: wind, earth, fire, and water. Okay. He had the power of wind. And this story comes out, and it's a great story, and he is the Avatar. The Avatar is supposed to have the ability of all four forces, and he doesn't in the beginning, and this tragedy happens, and he has to band together and make friends and overcome obstacles, and some people remember him, and some people don't, and some people are like, why can't you save us? And they have to figure out how to work together, and it's all with the underlying story of, why can't we all just get along? See, this is the Chinese proverb, samurai, you know, story of taking 1,000 steps and overcoming your obstacles, but also in a way that's sort of like, you know, Rodney King and why can't we just get along? So yeah, there's that. Now, first of all, this is a live action. Okay. Netflix did this as a live action Avatar, The Last Airbender. And upon first view of the kids playing the first three characters, you got Aang, you've got Sokka, and you've got Zuko. And what's the other one? Katara. Right away, I was like, you guys nailed it with all of these people. And every single character they introduced after that was perfect. It's almost like they drew the characters off of people that were going to exist years later. I mean, it's perfect. I enjoyed watching this season. This was the first season of the show. It was fantastic. I was a little concerned about how they were going to do the special effects of his airbending and things of the water nature and that sort of thing. All of it turned out perfect. We're just in the perfect time where technology has caught up with people's ability to not only make the special effects look cool, but for the actors to make it look like they're using the thing like they're using it. This is phenomenal. They did a great job with this. I don't know how much money was involved between, it says a partnership with Nickelodeon. I don't know how much money was involved between Nickelodeon and Netflix, but this was a home run of a show for me. It's good for families. It's good if you want to watch it by yourself. It's good for kids. It's good for adults. It's good for everybody. I'm amazed that this turned out as well as it did. I was prepared to be let down. I was prepared for a bunch of actors to be like, and I can throw water, and someone with a squirt gun goes, you know, it wasn't. It was great. So really loved the final episode of season one. Watching the Avatar use tremendous ability from the moon god, and that was amazing. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It's really phenomenal. But and I love the story. I mean, the story itself, they made a great story years ago. They portrayed it well in the cartoon. So it's like the actors and the filmmakers all have a blueprint of what to do. And they're like, this is great. We should just do this, but with people. And they did. I mean, they modified a few things here and there. But the things they modified, they sort of made better. I know that sounds weird, but it actually is better than the cartoon. In some ways. In some ways. I still miss the playfulness of Aang at times where there was a lot more screen time of him just being a kid with them and them talking about their hopes and fears and stuff. But they did a great job in the story of streamlining all of it and tying it all together. Even the dream states where he's talking to the avatars, the past avatars. Fantastic. Where he comes into contact with the first avatar and she embodies him and takes over his power to help save the day in a certain situation. Fantastic. It was so cool. So anyway, I'm excited to see what they're going to do. If you watched Avatar with your kids when you were little, when they were little, well, both little, watch this. You're going to enjoy it. Trust me. I did. All right. So with the theme of watching people with water and such, Aquaman 2, The Lost Kingdom, hit on HBO Max. And I watched the first Aquaman, and to me it was a comedy because I could not stop cracking jokes about how awful it was. Now, this one is worse. There's a lot of good actors in this. The guy playing Mantis, Black Mantis, was great. Jason Momoa still did a fantastic job. Honestly, to me, Jason Momoa was the best actor in this, which is odd because he's not necessarily been known as being an actor. I mean, he's a handsome guy and he plays the characters well, but, you know, for the most part, he's just a really handsome guy, charismatic. You know, you can't take your eyes off him when he's on the screen. What was the one where he was blind? I forget what that was. Frontier. No, that wasn't Frontier. What was that one? Sight, or I don't know. The one that was, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Google it. He played this blind guy, and that was weird and not probable at all, but still some of his best acting. But in this, he was the best actor on the screen. You even had Amber Heard on there, which I thought they were going to delete her, but she was on there, and she perfectly portrayed somebody who's not crazy. I mean, maybe that's a good acting job. I don't know. I mean, I heard it said years ago that, you know, Joey Diaz made a comedy thing about talking about how to him it wasn't as cool that Robert Downey Jr. was playing Iron Man. It was that Robert Downey Jr. was holding it together as a cokehead. He was like, look at him. He's acting his tail off. I know deep down that dragon's got him. he's like that. That's acting right there. But yeah, so listen, lots of big name characters in this. I just didn't care for it. It's at times there's action sequences with fights. And if you don't look at the screen and kind of look off to the distance, all you hear in your ears is pew, 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 pow, pow, pew, pew, pow, pow. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. yeah. Listen, the story was bad. The acting, worse. Sound effects, awful. Visually, it looked very pretty. There's lots of pretty things that happen on the screen. And I know all of the artists who were involved in creating the visual aspects of it were great. Nicole Kidman's had too much work done on her face. It just looks terrible when she talks now. I really liked Nicole Kidman. I like her in a lot of things. I think she's great in a lot of things. This was bad. This was really bad. Patrick Wilson, he did okay as his brother, half-brother, whatever. Black Mantis, I mean, he was acting as much as he could within the character of having to wear this thing on his head that just looks silly. So anyway, I get it. It's a comic book. I know I should let it go. It's just a comic book that they made into a movie. Just go with it. Have fun. Fine. Whatever. I just kept waiting for Sebastian from Little Mermaid to come out. Under the sea. You know what I mean? Anyway. All right. And then a comedy special. I recently watched Jared Freed. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. F-R-E-I-D. It's on Netflix. It's called 37 and Single. Loved it. Thought it was hilarious. 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. He was funny. I haven't watched any of his comedy. I think I've heard him on podcasts before, but I couldn't quite place it. But I know I've heard his name before. The only thing about the special that annoyed me was whoever was controlling the audio couldn't keep up with the range that he was doing. Because he had moments where he was talking and then moments where he was screaming because he was uber excited. And they could not keep up with the audio. I mean, I've listened to enough podcasts to hear these guys talk about how at times they put in their own money for things. And Jared, you got to boost up the profits or boost some of the money towards your sound quality. Your jokes are great. You're funny. You're really funny. Just get the audio dialed in, dude. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. So I love the special though. Go check it out. 37 and Single. I really wanted to send it to a certain buddy of mine because he is an older single fellow who needs to get it together. He knows who he is. He's not listening. That's fine. Anyway, hope everybody's doing well. I just wanted to get a podcast done, get it out there for you guys so that you'd have something to listen to. You know, we have lots of going on around here, and I am driving my wife crazy looking at Jeep videos and Jeep prices and checking out the Car Edge guys again, just because it's so cool. So, yeah, hope you enjoy your week. I hope that everything goes well. We got St. Paddy's Day coming up. We have a lot of things going on, like in our general area. If you're in the Augusta area, go check out tomorrow night, Saturday night, Hairball at the Evans Auditorium, Coliseum, whatever it is. Just look it up online. It's everywhere. Hairball is awesome. We went to it 2 years in a row. We can't go this year because we have other plans. But Derek Dove, I think, is opening up right tonight. He's supposed to be in Dunn, North Carolina. Derek right now has the number one hit on blues charts, and he is moving up the top 100. So, yeah, if he's anywhere near your area, check him out. But yeah, so lots of good stuff, lots of good entertainment, and it's all right there within your fingertips. Share this with your friends, and if you enjoyed this, give me a thumbs up, and y'all take care, and we'll do this again next time. Till then, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.